Time's over.
My son Wyatt just said, "Time's over."
Oh, it's Dan time. Grab a seat. It's Dan time. Yeah, it's Dan time. Only Dan's on the line. Oh. Only Dan's all the time. This is the Dan Time Podcast with your host, Dan McArthur.
Hey guys, pleased to welcome today on the Dan Time Podcast, episode number 103, as we approach the two-year mark. And I was just telling him, a lot of these guests that appear on the show, it's a very random coincidence, just somebody that comes across my peripheral. Or I'm doing a Google search and, you know, because I get asked, how did you find me? Where did you hear about me? Because sometimes it's an independent artist from across the globe. And it's just one of the things I've really come to love about this show and bringing some of these personalities to your ears and to your eyes on occasion. Mr. Danny Cole, so pleased to have you here today. Fellow metalhead, guitar player, and we'll get into a few of the other descriptors there, but Danny came across my Instagram feed. I was just telling him about this. It was one of the coolest, and if you know, you know. Even if you don't listen to our type of music, it was hilarious. Go follow him, first of all. He's at Mr. MR Danny Cole on social media. On Instagram, you'll find that one, A New Level. That's all I'm going to say. Look it up. Give him a follow. And so I saw it. I said, okay, I got to at least reach out to this dude. So without saying a whole lot more, Danny, thanks for being here on Dan Time.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, man. It's nice to be here and join the other Dans of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, Dan talking to fellow Dans, and it was just something for me to get it going, get a podcast going. And I thought, I didn't actually realize it at the time, but if you just put a little dash of humor into the theme, it usually cranks out some great guests, people that have a sense of humor themselves. So I've really found your reels and your content to be it's just enjoyable. Thanks, you bring the technical aspect to it with your guitar playing and maybe some nostalgia for people that love all these old songs and maybe haven't heard some of them played properly in a long time. And thanks for what you're doing out there. How much fun are you having with it?
Actually, lately I've been having a lot of fun. I kind of got out of it for a while. I started my Instagram in like 2019 and I got a little bit of a following in the last, probably about 6 or so months after starting, cause I was posting so frequently, like almost a video every 2 days, which is what you have to do. And then I kind of got out of it. Since then I kind of went stagnant, but the last 6 months or so, I've been really getting back into it and kind of upping my video game and my editing skills and really trying to do something different. You know, as opposed to just playing random covers that, you know, like your Guns N' Roses covers, you know, the songs you hear everybody else do. I want to do something a little bit different. So I try to dig into the B-sides a little bit more or just obscure songs. And like this last video I posted, it was, the metal and Indian kind of hybrid mix. It, you know, I got 600,000 views in the last week. It's something different. You know, one guy did it. I covered that. And yeah, it kind of hit pretty big. So. Oh, yeah, just trying different things, man.
I love that one because I think that view count, the energy that you're bringing in that video is partly or maybe wholly responsible for, again, going back to the enjoyment. People stick on things. They stop scrolling and they watch if it's like, oh, this is pretty cool. He's having fun. You look like you're having a great time doing some of these covers.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit of his performance, but a lot of it is the fun. But it's just, if you saw the behind the scenes on actually recording one of those videos, I should probably make it an edit of that because it'd be pretty funny. It gets hard, man, because I'm really picky and I have to perform every note perfectly. And, you know, even just the way I'm playing it, not necessarily the way it sounds, but the way it looks like when I'm playing it, you know, that has to be perfect too. So it takes me a while, man. Like just that video alone, I think took me about 30 hours.
Oh, I believe it.
So I can only do like one a week or so. I'm working on another one right now, but man, I try a lot. I used to post a lot of reels. I kind of archived a lot of my posts. I don't know, because I trying to get out of that. But I used to post like a lot of Pantera memes. So I know you found me through the new level, right? Because that was kind of my shtick for a long time.
Yeah.
Was posting anything Pantera related. That's been my all-time favorite band. So like I used to post videos of people dancing and I would cut the Pantera music on top of people dancing and stuff like that. But my best friend had actually sent me that video. I know I wrote it in the song, in the video, right? My friend sent me this. My best friend sent me that. His brother sent that to him. And we all kind of have this similar sense of humor. So when he sent me that, it's like, dude, you got to put that online. That's going to go viral for sure.
Yeah.
Sure enough, it sat on my phone for about a week. I said, screw it. I put it on Instagram. And what do you know? It hit like pretty big. So.
Wow. And going back to what you're saying about 30 hours into something, just that one example.
Yeah.
Obviously, you got to take a break. You got to go take care of your personal business, sleep, eat and stuff. And when you're locked into something like that, can you, are you excited to get right back to it when you've got a break for a few hours and you just want to get it done?
Yeah. It's all I think about, man. It consumes me. Like right now, my next video, it's all I'm thinking about right now. I'm going to go to bed, just editing everything in my head, exactly how it's got to be and learning it, and perfecting it. Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't even know why I'm doing this, to be honest. It's not really, I don't know. I'm not in a band, I guess. I have nothing else to do musically. So I'm just focusing on like one video at a time. And I don't know, man. I was in a band. I have released original music too. But right now, yeah, I just got these Instagram reels and having fun with it.
Wow. Well, watching your guitar playing, and I know you have a preference for ESP guitars. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. So my white one's actually an Epiphone, but ESP would be absolutely my go-to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where did you get started with guitar? Did it, were you always into the hard and heavy music and then you picked up the guitar, or did you pick up the guitar early on? And,
So the way that started is I was pretty young. I was about 12 and my mom put me into piano lessons and I don't know, I had a hard time with that. It was just, you know, I didn't want to learn Do, Re, Mi. I wanted to learn Guns N' Roses. I wanted to learn, you know, whatever was cool at the time when I was a kid. I was listening to, you know, Slash and Metallica and, you know, Megadeth and Pantera and all that stuff. So that's what I would go to bed thinking about playing, not, you know, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star on a piano.
Right.
So after about a year of that, I finally got an acoustic guitar and I got into kind of teaching myself. I took lessons for a few months, but more or less taught myself how to play. Been a long time.
Danny, what, bouncing around a little bit here, when you get some of the feedback and people post comments about how their reaction to these videos, how does that make you feel? You're putting it all, it's a labor of love. And especially when, like you said, you're doing something that you're not on a payroll. This is just coming from your creative juices. And I mean, it may be a total bust. It may be, you know, it could be boomer bust, but you're getting that feedback. How does that feel?
Yeah. So it can be good and it can be bad because you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
So I post these videos on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube, on TikTok, you know, they hit, you know, the variety of views and likes and all that comments that it's different on everything. You know, Facebook often, more often than not, is kind of a bust because it's more or less your aunts and uncles or whatever. Yeah. Right. And Instagram's obviously that's where I hit the most. YouTube, I'm struggling a little bit there. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I don't know if there's ways to advertise it. I'm not advertising, but my videos don't seem to be getting the reach that I believe that they should. Because I've actually been on YouTube for, I think, 17 years, 18 wow. years. Like since 2006, I've been posting on there at least, you know, a few times a year. But I'm not just doing something right. But anyways, to answer your question, yeah, the comments are very, very encouraging, especially when you do put a lot of effort into, something. But oftentimes you don't get nothing, you know, and you're like, what the hell am I doing wrong?
Yes.
No, I tried so hard. I know this is cool. I know it sounds good. I know, but it's not connecting for whatever reason, or it's not in the algorithm or whatever it is. People aren't seeing it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I love doing it, man. Whatever happens, happens. If nobody looks at it, I still had fun making it and that's good enough for me.
The note for note precision is what attracts somebody like me when I stop and watch something like that. And I watch a few of them and then I was like, wow. Like some of the things you take a stab at, The Weeknd, Save Your Tears. I'm a metal guy primarily, but I like, and I've had many guests on the show, of course, independent artists. I like folk music. I like any kind of just acoustic singer-songwriter stuff, a lot of types of music. But That's a really special song. I remember hearing that on a Pandora kind of general playlist. And when I heard you do that, I was like, wow, okay. It's about time somebody put that kind of spin to it.
Yeah, I mean, why not, right? Music's music. I like anything that's good. I love music, man. I listen to music minimum 8 hours a day. If I'm not, when I'm working, I'm at the gym, whatever. I'm always got these headphones in. I'm always listening to music, and I listen to everything, man. Like the song I'm doing right now, it's Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Compares. So that's going to be my next video. And I got a whole thing planned where I'm going to, you know, black out the whole video. It's just going to be my guitar, my face. You're not going to see nothing, just like her video. So I got it all planned out and I'm just working towards that. And that's it, man. It's all I'm thinking about. And I got the next one after that plan. So yeah, I'm really going to be focusing on that style of like, just, you know, having fun with the background and the effects and.
Yeah.
And there's creative.
You kind of bring a full package as far as the image that you're putting out there. You've got a lot of work you've had done. I wrote down your tattoo artist, the famous.
Yeah. Jim McClare. Yeah. So he did all of my horror sleeve here. I mean, you can see that. But anyway, yeah, I got Michael Myers and Jason. So a lot of those tattoos, man. It's one of my things too, is I go online on Instagram, I scroll, I've always got tattoos in my feet, and I follow the artists and I become obsessed and I want to get work by them. Like, you know, I'm very fortunate. I got a lot of tattoos from a lot of very amazing artists, not just Jim, like he is, but like, yeah, I got them all over the place, man. I needed to take a break. It was a lot. You know, the great work costs a lot of money. But so, yeah, I'm taking a little bit of time off from tattoos, but I love it, man. I got awesome, awesome work, and I'm very proud of all the work that I got.
Do you have, because I don't have any, but I'm always curious about people who have tattoos. The very first one that you got, is it still important to you, or are you more, the ones that are most important, are they more the later era stuff?
Yeah, so I had a tattoo, a couple, when I was younger. One of them I got lasered, and actually Jim covered it up. But yeah, my most recent kind of tattoo splurge, you know, my midlife crisis, whatever it is, was this Dimebag one here.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that was, I got this 2019. Love it. Another amazing artist out of Montreal. And from there, that's kind of when they all started.
Danny, I can't, I've been trying to pause on the Pantera talk for as long as I can, but as soon as you mentioned Dimebag, because I've been thinking about this as soon as we agreed to talk, I don't know how it is for you, and I think you have to feel the same way, but when that anniversary, the December 8th, comes up every year, and even before it comes up, for me, Danny, it never gets any less painful.
It sucks, man. It sucks.
I don't know. I mean, people, John Lennon was shot unexpectedly. Some other things, tragic things have happened to artists, but in the metal community, I don't think anything really compares to that. And he was a titan. He was a hero. And I just remember the text message I got. People may be surprised. In 2004, we didn't have smartphones, but we did have text messages. And it was my brother who sent me the message in the middle of the night. It was just very hard to believe.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Dimebag was my idol, man. Since I was 1994, I was 12 years old. I loved him, man. I had all my wall with just pictures of him, and he was my idol. And when that happened, I woke up to a few answer me messages and people telling me the news. That's how I found out. I wish I saved those, actually, but I still have them replaying in my head. I'll never forget that day, man. I still, every day, every December 8th, man, it's just, what the hell? You know, even yet, like yesterday, or sorry, was it yesterday? The Black Sabbath.
Oh, yeah, back
show,
to the beginning.
Right? So, you know, you're watching that and you're watching Pantera, and it's like, man, Dimebag and Vinnie Paul should have been there.
They should have been there. That sucks, gosh, man. 100%.
But, yeah.
And you know, I was thinking today on that end, that this actually just came to me this afternoon. If we still had Dime or Vinnie, or Vinnie hadn't passed away a few years ago, and this, we're going to run into this event, whether either Phil or Vinnie liked that or not, and we hit this moment in time, does that bring them on stage together? I think that it probably does not, but I wanted to get your take on this one-day event, Farewell to Black Sabbath. I think if Vinnie is still alive, we're probably going to see Down perform. I think Phil Anselmo is going to be there regardless. And
Yeah.
Do you think that that would have brought Diamond or Phil and Vinny together for one day to just do it? Or what do you think?
I don't know, man. Vinny Paul seemed really hell bent on just kind of moving on. And
yeah,
it's hard to say, man, because they actually, you know, there's a video of him being asked the question, you know, about the reunion. And he says, you know, if Van Halen wants to get shot in the head five times, you know, what are you going to just put Zach Wilde in there and call it Van Halen? He said, you can't do it. So he was obviously against that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's hard to say, man. I'd probably lean towards no. I don't think he would do it ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who knows what he had to go through, man. He watched his brother get killed in front of him.
And
he had a lot of blame and animosity towards Phil. Because of that. Actually, yeah, I was just talking about that. About like a couple weeks before that happened to Dimebag, there was that interview, I think it was Metal and Kerrang or whatever it was.
Kerrang, yeah.
Yeah, where Phil, apparently, I never read it, but he said, you know, Dimebag needs to be severely beaten. So I guess some people attributed his murder to that interview, and who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say no, unfortunately. You know, I always kind of wanted something to happen, but who knows, man? That was a pretty traumatic thing to go through, I'm sure.
Well, you did, you got to meet the guys, the current lineup of Pantera, a couple years ago in Montreal. Is that right?
That was a hell of an experience,
too. A story around that, an injury, and what happened? Yeah, that? Take me through that day.
So it was at the Olympic Stadium in Montreal. I'm coming from Ottawa. It's about a 2.5-hour drive. And, you know, it was, I think it was on a Friday or something. Yeah, it was on a Friday. So the traffic was insane. Running late, you know, the meet and greet was very adamant about, you know, don't show up late. You know, you got to be here on time or else you're not getting in. And so we're running late because the traffic. So I told my girlfriend, I said, you got to park my vehicle, man. I got to bolt. So she jumped in my truck and I got out. I started running towards the arena, the stadium. And I'm just the people everywhere. I started running by people and I didn't realize there was a curb. I flipped. I dislocated my finger here. I sprained my ankle. I was just all bruised up, banged up. And I started crawling, man. Oh. I was just in my head. I started crawling there like a zombie. I'm on the pavement. And everybody's like, about Mac, man, what's going on, man? Holy shit, somebody help this guy. And there's just a big crowd of people around me. I'm like, no, man, I got to be Pantera. I'm going to be late. About eight people carried me off to the grass. I'm like, just do something. So they ended up putting me in a wheelchair, brought me to the medics. I said, just put a splint on me for now. I got to go meet the band. I was already late at this point. So they put me on a golf cart after that. And then I went and met the band, got a quick picture. And then I went and put my finger back in place after that. And then I went and watched the show.
You got to be in some serious pain also that you're...
It was horrible. Yeah.
Put it in the back of your mind. Horrible.
I couldn't really play guitar after that for about a year. Like, yeah, it was rough, man. It's still not 100%, but it's just a cool story, I guess. Something had to happen. I'm going to meet Pantera after 20 years. Something had to happen.
And how were the guys that day? Meeting Phil, Rex, Charlie?
Yeah, super cool, man. Yeah, Zach was just a ball of energy, man, just laughing with everybody, making jokes. And, you know, he was coming out and introducing himself to everyone. He was super cool. The rest of the guys were, you know, just kind of a quick, you know, as a going fist bump.
Yeah.
Grab a picture, you know, but it meant a lot to me, man.
I do like, I was going to say, I like what Charlie's doing and his attention to detail. I remember before the first tour started where he said, it's very important to me in so many words to just play note for note the way that Vinny played these songs. Basically the studio version.
He is, man. He's bang on. And not just that, but the sound that he's getting with the drums. It's identical. It sounds just like Vinnie Paul.
Yeah.
Like playing live. It sounds like that really big snare hit. Like that's Vinnie Paul's snare hit. Man, it's weird, but yeah, they got it bang on. It's nailed. Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
Now, did you get to see him back in the day before the breakup, anything like that?
Yeah, I did. I did. So actually another story. I had a Washburn Dimebag guitar at the time. They were very hard to get, like the Dimebolt. So the blue one with the lightning, right? That was his famous guitar. I finally had it. That was my dream guitar. But I was only like 18 at the time. And my friend who had lived in Toronto had a ticket for me to go see the Extreme Steel Tour. So it was Slayer, Static X, Pantera.
Yeah.
And it was in Hamilton, which is about an hour away from Toronto. So yeah, we're going back to 2001. I was just a young kid. My friend had a ticket for me. I had no money to go. So what am I going to do? I sold the dime bag guitars. The only thing I owned that was worth anything. So I sold it to a friend. I said, dude, I'm going to sell this to you. Just give me some money so I can go watch this show, and then I'll buy it back off you one day. He gave me the money. I gave him the guitar, and then I hitchhiked to Toronto. And I went with my friend, met up with a few other guys. We went to the show, watched it. Man, it was just the most kick-ass experience, everything I ever wanted it to be. It was incredible. And then my friend ended up selling the guitar. I never Yeah, I lost my dime bag guitar, man. Yeah, but I saw Pantera, man. I saw the original Pantera. And my best friend, the same guy, that's the same guy that sent me the New Level video.
Oh, is that right?
When we were at the show, his name's Dave. I'm going to give him a shout out. Dave Roy. He found a dime bag pick at the Pantera concert. Dime bag, when he threw out his picks at the end of the show, he got one. He shook my hand at the end of the show and gave it to me. Here you go, man. I had that pick. I wore it around my neck for about 5-6 years, and then I ended up breaking it or something. But yeah.
Wow, what a story.
Yeah, man. So it's always been Pantera with me ever since I was a teenager. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
My whole life, man. I remember when Reinventing the Steel came out, we were so excited. We went, walked downtown Sudbury, which where I'm from. You know, we each bought a copy of the CD and we're reading the lyrics on the way back to his house. We're trying to figure out how the songs were going to go. And, you know, your whiskey, your trust is in whiskey and weed. Like I said, we had no idea how the songs went. And then, I don't know, man. Yeah. Just, as long as I can remember, I got just Pantera, man. I love that band. I actually have Goddamn Electric tattooed across my back, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was one of my earlier tattoos in 2005, right after he died. Yeah, I got that tattoo.
I loved that album at the time. I don't think anybody expected it to be their very last record. But in 2000, the way the music scene was changing, the metal scene was changing, it was kind of like, when it dropped, it was like, thank you. I need a, I don't call it traditional heavy metal record right now. And that's what they put. They put out a Pantera record to kind of show everyone, this is how the big boys do it. We're not going to be new metal. We're going to be who we are. And, you know, it was okay. Slipknot was coming on the scene. There were some bands that were worth their salt, but it was like, I wanted something like that in rotation at the time. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah, I agree, man. Yeah, I love that. It's actually very underrated, especially the new mix too. I love the Terry Date mix.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Death Rattle is one of my favorites there.
Me too, man. I listen to that every day at the gym. Death Rattle has got my go-to, yeah. That middle part with that groove.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Just classic. Yeah. What my brother and I saw Pantera in Dallas 2001. It was, I guess, towards the end of that tour. Okay. And it just, again, like you described, we're not taking a bunch of pictures. I don't have any pictures that exist. Oh, you do?
We had a camera, and my friend brought it. In his. I have pictures. I'm going to be posting them in the next week or so for Rex's birthday. I was thinking about that. Because he started following me after that video.
I was going to mention, Rex Brown official page follows you.
Yeah, so that kind of made my day. So yeah, I'm going to make sure I got some pictures of Rex from that show that I'm going to share for the first time.
Wow. Another thing I was thinking about, I think you'd probably echo the same sentiment, is that just that marriage of Phil Anselmo, his lyrics, but his vocals and Dime's guitar was like that match made in metal heaven.
Yeah.
The whole unit is what makes Pantera special. Rex and Vinny. I love Vinny because I like to play drums casually.
Oh, you do?
But, okay. If you're driving around listening to Far Beyond Driven, I mean, I just really like the groove metal where Vinny can play anything he wants, as fast as he wants, but some bands get a little too technical, and then when you're driving around listening to them, you just can't. You know, like Mastodon. I love Mastodon, but I can't keep up with what Brent's trying to do there. And but Vinny's got all those little signature, you know, 5 minutes alone, the 1, 2, 3, 4 on the ride cymbal or whatever. Yeah, just all that stuff. They're just...
Yeah, I love it, man. To me, it's the greatest drumming that there is.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
One thing I wanted to show you here, and you probably watched this back in the day, but the Pantera DVD...
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, this is the one that was packaging all three together, the three Vulgar videos.
Yeah, I got that somewhere too. I couldn't, in the 90s, nobody was coming to my house without watching that. Nobody. I would watch that multiple times a day. You got to think, right? This is before YouTube. There was nothing else that was cool. It was funny to watch. It was just exciting. Oh, yeah. It had everything in it.
Yes.
So, yeah, I watched it. I, my VHS tapes, man, my Vulgar videos and my Watch It Go. I must have watched those hundreds of times each.
Yeah.
Oh, we loved it. You did too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at that age, if you're, and I was, we were partying pretty hard back then. So it was, it went hand in hand. As you get older, and maybe this is a good segue, maybe start to put some priorities, put your priorities in check and make some decisions. And yeah. I know you, on your, at least Instagram page, you mentioned that as far as guitar player, sober.
Yeah.
Frenchie, you got a Frenchie dog named Cheech?
Yeah, man. I got two, actually. Cheech and Boo. I got two Frenchies.
Horror movie fan, music lover, of course, tattooed, but putting sober there front and center. So that's really important to you and the shirt you're wearing also. What's your story on that end as far as much as you're comfortable? Yeah, like, I'm way too sober.
Yeah, no. Yeah, well, I'm an open book, man. I don't mind talking about that. But basically, alcoholism ran in my family. My dad's been sober probably almost 30 years now. But growing up, you know, I had an alcoholic stepfather. And just alcohol was everywhere. Everybody drank. Everybody acted stupid when they drank. I grew up thinking it was cool to do that. So most of my adult life, you know, I drank a lot too. I didn't really act stupid, but I drank too much and I enjoyed it too much. And it just became more or less kind of a hassle for me. And I don't know, man. I just didn't want to see myself in my 40s just going down. You know, I reached like a breaking point where it's like, you can either go one way or the other way. And I wasn't having fun anymore. The hangovers were getting rough, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing is, when I start drinking, I'll have fun, but I have a hard time shutting that switch. You know, I just want to keep it going. And then the next day I'm going to wake up while everyone's going to work. I still want to keep drinking.
Yeah.
And it took a few tries. I finally, I got rid of that, man. I moved on, and my life's been nothing but better ever since. So it's been 5.5 years now since I drank. I quit smoking the same day I quit drinking. Wow. I smoked all my life too, man. So yeah. So I don't do anything but work out, play guitar, you know, I hang out with my dogs or whatever, you know, I don't do much, man. My social life took a hit. Nobody wants to hang around with a sober guy anymore, unfortunately. You know, a lot of people have issues with themselves that they won't admit. They have a hard time. I don't mind. I'll hang out with anyone, man. You can drink all you want. If you get too drunk, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
But we can hang out. I don't know, man. I had to quit. I got to a point where it was just not fun anymore. I was getting too old. It just didn't seem cool to go hang out at a bar, you know, wake up hungover and not be productive. And it's, I don't know, that whole scene just sucked for me. It wasn't worth it anymore. So I had to kind of move on. Thankfully it happened right before the pandemic. So it was like February of 2020, you know. Had I not quit drinking when I did, I don't know how I would have took to drinking at home every day during the pandemic, like everyone else.
It would have
been really bad for me.
Yeah.
So it's really, I quit at the perfect time, man.
Oh, you're not kidding. Well, I was about to, you know, I was really amazed by your story there. But when you dropped that February 2020 marker, it's like, wow, what if that was April? And then you're still on lockdown for a few months. And now you're kind of settled into a habit that you haven't broken. Yeah. And
because the way I drank, if I'm self-employed, I'm a painter, I paint houses, I paint commercial, residential. And when I don't have work, it affects me. You know, I get a little bit bummed out. I'm sitting at home, and when I'm sitting at home and I'm bummed out, you know, I have a few extra beers. And when I'm having beers, and that's all I want to do is drink beers, and I get extra bummed out. And I'm just, you know, it's just a cycle. It gets worse and worse. It snowballs into just this bitterness and depression. So yeah, had I not quit when I did, I don't think it would have been good for me. It was, and then my dog died, you know, a month after that. My dog died in March 2020.
Yeah.
Which was horrible. It's a miracle that I never drank after that. I don't know how I did it, but very thankful that I never did.
Well, kudos
to you. I feel good, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
For making that decision. It's not easy. And once you get a little ways into it, you know, I'm about 18 months in. I think it was November 23. So however long that's been.
Good for you, man.
And mine is a little bit more driven. I mean, I did like to come home and have a beer, have a whiskey, really just like one and one, not like five beers and two shots, but like, you know, a beer and a shot or just a beer sometimes, but every day, every single day. Yeah. And and I've got kids, and they kind of, I didn't have enough really time to sit down and finish a drink. And that kind of got it started. Actually, I came out of, I had COVID for about a 2-week stretch. I didn't feel well enough to drink. And then when I felt better, I thought, why don't we just not do this for a little while and see what happens? But I love hearing your story. I love hearing anybody's story because, like you said, it can make you an outlier as far as what other people do or doing socially.
Yeah. But you do get, I've personally inspired other people to have quit too since I quit. You know, I won't mention them, but I know that other, it's inspiring, man. You see how well I'm doing. I know I'm doing well. Yeah. I changed my appearance completely. You know, my whole outlook on life, everything is different about me now from what it was, you know, 5-6 years ago. And yeah, man, I used to look at other people too and say, oh, fuck, I wish I could do that. You know, how do you do that? Just one thing at a time. You know, I never used to care about how I looked. Now I buy nice clothes. I can make sure I go see my barber, you know, once or twice a month. I got really good tattoos. I work out every day. You know, I drink all my water. And I never used to care about any of that stuff. It's just, where's the party? Give me a case of beer. Where's the party? That's all I ever thought about. So, yeah.
I did notice, like, if you go back, like you said, about 5 years or longer, and look at some of your early covers where you have long hair and you look a little bit different. And it almost looks like two different guys.
Yeah. I've lost 60 pounds too. So I don't know if that's still up there, but like my before and after is pretty shocking. But a lot of that is attributed to my alcohol abuse, right? You drink a lot of beer, but that doesn't sit well with you. So.
Yeah. One thing, would you agree as far as like being a creative individual, like just the clarity, the day-to-day clarity, you're not trying to create something, but, oh man, I got this headache, or all I want to do is take a nap, or all I want to do is, or your mood shifts a lot when your body is just kind of trying to recover, or it wants, it's like ready to have another drink and it's not time yet, but you're getting cranky and like all that stuff. It just goes, you just almost get rid of it. It's not like you don't have the everyday irritations that everybody does with traffic and people in big box stores. But
I'm in the moment, man. I'm always, I'm always living in the moment. I don't have to worry about any of that shit. I feel good, you know, more or less. You know, I still have my issues. I am getting older now and it's getting harder to get out of bed every day, especially with two French bulldogs and take up all the room. You know, it's harder. But yeah, man.
Well,
I agree. It's definitely easier. Definitely easier. And I think it's easier to, for being creative, I think I'm just a better worker in general. I have, my work ethic is better now that I kind of focus in on things more than I would. As you said, you could probably easily get distracted before, you know, go have a beer, whatever.
Put it to the side. Somebody calls and says, hey, you want to come meet me at the bar? And you're like, okay, I'll put this to the side. And then you go drink for 5 hours at the bar. And then you come home and 100%. Half the next day, you're not doing anything. And then it's the next night before you get back to what you were working on.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
I had a habit. When I drank, I had a bad habit of kind of just crashing wherever I was, which is, looking back at it now, it's so weird, man. Like, I can't even. It's like a phobia of mine to sleep at somebody's house now. But before, wherever, give me a couch, I'm sleeping there.
Right. Well, Danny, as I sometimes do, I take us way off course, but I think it was I want to highlight stuff like this when it's important to my guest, and it's something that I can relate to as well, and hopefully my listeners. You know, if somebody's listening to this podcast and you want to stop, or you don't really have a huge problem, but you want to just put it on the shelf for a couple of weeks, try it out.
All it was, man.
Your body's going to thank you. You know, you're going to wake up and.
Yeah. I mean, how much different do you feel now as opposed to 18 months ago, right?
Oh, it's night and day.
Yeah.
And I would tell people, if you want something the next day, if you want to just not have a drink today and you're going to feel like $1 million tomorrow, it doesn't really work that way, but give it say about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, where you really start to notice a difference in the energy. And if you are a creative individual and the things that you want to do and you want to plan for, would you say, Danny, like thinking about the future? I know me personally, I would like not really think much more beyond that day or that week.
Yeah. Just day to day, man. That's what they say, right? I don't go to AA meetings. I've never been, but I hear that that's what they kind of preach, you know, one day at a time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I never got too far ahead of myself. I just kind of, it was always like the next new thing to experience sober, like the first wedding, the first birthday, the first Christmas, the first trip, you know, going on on a resort for a week without drinking, you know, that haunted me for like 6 months. I finally got through it. And then now it's, everything's normal now to just not drink.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. But getting through the first is tough.
Hey, you knocked out two things, you know, that are important for longevity, really. It's smoking and drinking at the same time. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't even be around a cigarette anymore. I can't stand that smell.
Yeah.
I could actually smell like a glass of wine from across the room now. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. My sense of smell is really heightened. I could smell wine and cigarettes from down the street, man. Gross. I can't do it. No idea how I did that for so many years.
Well, hey, Dandy, I want to call out because I scratched out some notes here and I want to bring to people's attention, you know, this is a couple metalheads talking and we're reminiscing about Pantera and Dime and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, I want to mention some other songs that you do, pretty cool covers of One of These Nights.
Oh, the Eagles. Yeah, I love the Eagles, man. Easily one of my top five bands of all time. Yeah, big Eagles fan.
I was telling my wife this earlier today, Lady Gaga, always remember us this way. It's real imaginative, your interpretation of like, this would be a good place for a guitar part.
Yes, I appreciate that. Thank you. So what I'm doing there is just essentially replacing the vocals with the guitar, right? But I have a few videos of doing that, and one of my followers reached out to me, and he had asked me to send him an MP3 of what songs they were. But there was two of my songs that I posted. He wanted two of them to play at his wedding. He wants to use them at his wedding this year. And actually, I got to finish the second one this week for him. But I thought that was super cool, right? Just posting a video on Instagram. Now this guy who I never met is going to be getting married to me playing guitar.
Doesn't get much more rewarding than that.
You know, and I made a little bit of cash too, which is cool. But so I'm looking forward to that. And he's going to hopefully send me the video whenever that happens. I think it's in September. Yeah, super cool.
How do you decide on some of these songs like that one, Always Remember Us This Way, or Save Your Tears? You're like, okay, I'm going to go headlong into this. Because there's got to be a lot of like ideas. I hear songs all the time where if you listen to hard and heavy music, you're like, man, this would be pretty cool if somebody covered this, a metal version of this.
Yeah. What it is like I said, I'm listening to music 8 hours, 10, 12 hours a day. I'm always listening to music, all kinds of music. We listen to big 80s fan, man. So a lot of times I listen to just cheesy 80s music, you know, if it's whatever, Cyndi Lauper, ABBA, it doesn't matter. I love it all. The 70s, you know, I listen to a lot of Jerry Rafferty lately. I don't know, man. So every time I hear a song, I kind of make notes in my phone about, you know, okay, I can maybe do something with this. I can maybe do something with that. And most of it goes dormant. I don't do anything, but there are times like today that I'm going to be working on a Sinead O'Connor song. And that's it, man. It's just whatever hits me. I need inspiration from the specific song, or if I'll hear something while I'm at work, you know, it's okay. Yeah, tonight, that's the one I'm going to be focusing on. This one is the main thing, is just getting in this room. Oftentimes I don't come in here, and that's when nothing gets done. But every time I come and sit in this chair, something happens. So I just got to make sure I come in here more often. But it's hard because I work for myself. I'm working often. I work late, but I try, man.
And I imagine you maybe get requests from time to time. Do people DM you?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I got quite a bit that some of them I've been slacking on for a long time, but Holy Wars is probably my number one song that I've been requested more often than not. And I did record it and I never released it for some reason. I don't know why. Cause I think that happened during COVID. Something happened. I forget what. Something stopped me, but I actually physically learned all the parts, recorded the song, and never made the video to accompany the song, and I never did nothing with it. But I have the MP3 of me playing it. But that would be my number one requested song, would be Holy Wars.
And you do Pantera, Heresy, I'm Broken, Cemetery Gates. I wrote down Metallica. These kind of go back a few years. Unforgiven, Solo, Sandman, Blackened.
Yeah, so when I was in high school, Oh boy, here's a whole other thing. When I was in high school, I actually dropped out towards the end. In the 11th grade, all I did was play guitar. I was up all night learning Metallica. That's it. I learned every song, note for note, every album. I knew every Metallica song. I was the guy. I would show up at parties with my little amp, my guitar, and I would play any song people requested by Metallica. And that was the thing. After I got my graduation diploma afterwards, but I did drop out at one point. I just want to throw that out there. I'm not a high school dropout. But anyways, yeah, so I learned all those songs. I was in a band for a few years. You know, we kind of got into the originals. We had a CD out, and then that kind of went south quickly. And then I didn't play nothing, man, for like probably 10 years. I didn't do anything musically. And I got into it again in like 2019 when I started that Instagram account. And that kind of... oh man, it helped me so much just to get back to playing and, you know, just building up a little bit of a following and buying new guitars and just playing them and getting new gear. And, you know, but yeah, performing live is probably what I'm best at, and I haven't done it in forever. So I'm really hoping I can eventually get back on stage. Yeah, hopefully. Just got to find the right people. It's tough.
Just keeping a unit together, four guys, or sometimes it's five. I don't know how, like Aerosmith, I don't know how they did that for all those years, but I mean, they did break up or come back. Yeah. But, you know, how four guys, even if you're just on playing the club circuit, trying to keep it together for 12 months, that's yeah. That's a tall order most of the time.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough, especially if you drink the way I drink. Makes things even tougher. Luckily, that would never be a problem again. So, I don't know. I'd be curious to see how it would go now. You know, I would never, I don't know. I thought about it, but I don't know, man. I think I just got so used to just this now. It's kind of the idea of being in a group, such a foreign thought now. You know, bouncing ideas off other musicians, like what? I don't even know what that's like. No, I'm the only creative guy here. I do everything creative. So, I couldn't imagine other input. I need it sometimes. I don't get it, but yeah, we'll see, man. To be continued. Hopefully something will come up in the future and I'll have some cool stories there.
Well, as my listeners have heard from time to time, it's probably been a few months, but I was telling you, Danny, I've got small children and they sometimes make appearances on the other side of the door. I don't know. You maybe can't hear my 4-year-old screaming, but
I haven't heard that thing.
We got pretty far without any interruptions, but
that's okay.
But anyway, I was going to say on that last point you made, there's got to be something about having full creative control over what you're doing. That once you've got it and you've had it for a while, like you said, do I really want to get some other parties involved in here? I mean, on my end, it's just this podcast, but it's just me. I mean, I do everything. Sometimes it'd be nice to have some help, but I also like that I don't have any stakeholders. There's nobody that I have to do it a certain way.
Yeah. Make somebody happy. Own time. Yeah. Right. Do you have a theme song?
Yeah, but I could probably use a new one.
Okay. Okay. I'll set you up. I'll get you a good one.
Wow.
I'm pretty good for that. Yeah, no, I'm really good for that. I'll see what I can come up with.
That would be spectacular. Yeah. I know you're really busy, but yeah, if I would be honored. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. All right. I'll see what I can do. It's a cool name for a podcast, Dan Time. I like that.
Yeah. I had to give it a couple weeks. I remember I just finally got out of bed one day and said, that's it. I couldn't think of a better title. I just kept coming back to Dan Time. All right. Well, let me get this guy on the, get over here. I do want to introduce you here to my 4-year-old, mostly because of his hair.
Yeah.
All right. Real quick. Hey, Wyatt, you've made a few appearances in the past. This is my long-haired 4-year-old,
Wyatt. Hey, buddy. Wyatt.
You want to say hey?
What's going on? Hey.
You got cooler hair than me.
Getting tired. There it is.
It's cold. Oh, look at that.
Cool. I like your haircut.
So, you want to show him the back?
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's a pretty cool mullet, man.
He's got the Vince Neil hair, circa 1984. But more of a mullet.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I'm going for a skullet soon there. The hair is go slowly disappearing. It'll be the Hulk Hogan there.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Say hey, Danny.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, Wyatt. It's good to meet you, buddy.
Say, how you doing?
I really like your haircut. Danny. Super cool. I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good.
Were you banging on the door? Did you want to see your dad?
Yeah.
Yeah? Are you happy you see him now?
Yeah.
Cool. I'm glad I got to meet you.
Right,
huh? Oh, you know how to sing?
Yeah.
Yeah? What do you like to sing?
My planet song.
Can you sing
He listens
it?
To the planet songs.
What's it's the planet song?
It's called Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Planet Mercury, that's my favorite one.
That's a cool one. I like that one. What about Pluto? Is that part of the song?
Yeah. Okay, I'll sing it. Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune. There's 8 planets in there.
Okay.
Now.
Well, you're seeing.
And now the rest of the ones there.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to sing that song tonight, too. It'll be my next video. Where do you hear that song? Who sings it?
The song?
Who sings
it? On the TV.
Wow, where on TV?
Stole.
All right. Say bye, Danny.
Bye.
See you later, Wyatt. Nice to meet you. Now I know all my planets.
So fun.
Thanks for indulging there.
Yeah, I know, man.
It's a delicate balance. I think they were.
I finished the whole song, then Pluto next, and Pluto, and then Pluto, and Dwarf Planet. So.
All right.
I care about Mercury. Venus, Earth, and Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune. They want next to Mercury.
Once I got him going, I didn't know how to. I don't know how to shut
Jupiter,
it down. Okay.
Saturn,
yeah, where's that off switch?
All right. Well, Danny, I've really been sweating bullets at times with certain guests and having kids in the house. Usually, they're out of the house. For a while for me to do this. So, and they were, but,
that's cool, man.
But so it goes.
I don't mind.
Anything that we covered a lot and we could probably pick back up in another year or so, or, whenever you like. This has been spectacular, Danny.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. It's been fun talking to you. Like I said, nothing crazy going on right now. Just, I work on a video really hard. I put it online, whatever happens, happens. And that's all I'm doing right now. I'm enjoying doing that, and I'm going to keep doing it for now.
Well, keep doing what you're doing because it's catching on.
Thanks, buddy.
And thanks for your tolerance on this, the back end. Who knows at this part of the podcast, maybe some people bailed at the 30-minute mark. Who knows? But I've enjoyed talking about all these songs, all these bands with you, and
yeah, well, we seem to have a lot in common. We come from the same era, the same place, so I like that. It's nice to talk to you about that, man.
Yeah. All right. Well, folks, again, and this will be in the notes as well, follow Danny Cole, Mr. Danny Cole, anywhere you're scrolling or any platform, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify as well. It's at Mr. Danny Cole.
Is it?
Is it right?
I don't know. That's a good question. Actually, you know what? I should plug my last song that I came out with. It was a duet with a good friend of mine, John, who he coincidentally is a singer in a Pantera tribute band and sings probably the best Phil you've ever heard. So anyways, yeah, we and him put a song out on Spotify and YouTube. We have a video. It's called Dyad, D-Y-A-D. And the song is called My Worth. But worth like earth. Yeah, check that song out if you haven't heard it. It's good. And hopefully we do some more. We've been talking, so.
Man, that's another thing, and I know I got to wrap this up, but Pantera tribute bands that do it properly, there's not really a lot of them out there. Because you got to find someone that can play the part of Phil, and it's really just one Phil Anselmo.
Yeah, I'll send you a link, man. You'll be surprised. This guy's good. He's got what it takes. I think he's the best out there. And yeah, shout out to John. And they're called Pantera. They play all over. So I should say all over around Northern Ontario, Quebec. Where are you anyway?
Gulf Coast of Florida. Actually, just outside of Pensacola, Florida.
Okay, no, right on, man. It's a pleasure meeting you, Dan.
Yeah, this has been fantastic. Thanks for your time, for your Dan time. It was just fantastic to link up with you today. And thanks for sharing all your stories with my listeners.
Yeah, well, I'll make sure I share the podcast when it's out.
Love to do it again next time. And thanks, everybody, for listening and subscribing here to the Dan Time Podcast. You can listen on any platform. This episode will be on YouTube, maybe before the audio platforms, but you can also find the show on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and wherever you listen. Have a great week, folks. Check out Danny Cole. Give him a follow, and your day, your week's going to be a lot better.
Time's over.
My son, Wyatt, just said, time's over. See you next week, guys. Thank you, Danny. Great talking to you today.
Take care. You too.
All right.
Time's over.
Whoa.